And I guess first thing, as we bat lead off with you, is how is it going now overseeing both programs?
I think it's been great. You could ask the men how they're liking it, but I'm loving it. It was kind of a surprise this summer and not something I had really wrapped my brain around. But I was honored to be offered, taking over both. Hopefully that is a good sign that I was doing a pretty good job on the women's side, and our women's team has had some great success. But, the men have had such a rich history and so much good stuff. Like when I was on the team here, our men were killing it, and Hassan Mead and Chris Rombaugh and all those guys. And then obviously when Coach Griak was coaching, I mean, it's just, there's so much history. And so to take over a program like that, there's a little bit of pressure there. And I think, there's a little bit of expectation. I know the alumni feel really strongly. And so, but I did get some nice notes from a bunch of alums that are excited to see what we can do now that we're kind of combined going forward. And both teams have just done an awesome job of coming together. They all knew each other socially. It's not like they were these two foreign groups coming together, but to be together all the time and to go to camp together and to do all those things together is certainly very different. So, we had our first travel trip as a group. We had our first camp as a group. And I think both of them went really well. And now we just keep rolling.
Yeah. What are the benefits maybe of combining? You said that you guys knew each other, the men and the women's teams and those kind of things, but now to have this, and then what does it change daily for you in regard to now with, overseeing both?
Yeah. So I think benefit wise, it's just lots more positive momentum. I think, whenever you have more energy, more bodies, more opportunity for positives, you see, like, we were at Penn State this past weekend and the women raced first and the men were able to watch that and see the women run well, and knowing that sort of we're on the same wavelength with training and all that stuff, I think it gives the men some confidence, and vice versa. If the men race first and that goes well, just more energy too at the meets. When we're away, when we're so far away, there's some parents out there, but you don't have a lot of fans. And so knowing that, both teams are out there cheering for each other, and there was a little bit of that before, but now that it's very encouraged to be out there and they know each other's goals and they know what both teams are shooting for, that's just been huge. And same at practice, having all that energy at practice and just those different dynamics. I think there's a nice thing about having two different groups and it kind of mixes it up a little bit for everybody. But, for me, it's been great because I was able to hire an assistant, which on the women's side, it's always just kind of been me. And I was telling the men and the women, when I took over for Coach Wilson back in 2013, we had 47 women just on the women's cross roster. And now with both rosters combined, we're at 40. So number of bodies, I've done that forever, and that's not a problem, but having recruiting for both is a big thing that has been new. And I haven't looked at boys' high school results for the past 15 years because I haven't needed to. So, Brad Wick, applied for the job, and he was at Minnesota way back when, in the generation of Hassan Mead and Chris Rombaugh and those guys. And, he went on to Boise State. He went on to San Jose State, and he's from Elk River. So hiring him back with us has been huge, for me, for the program. I think it's been a good fit. And so having both of us working together, in some ways, obviously there's more work, but in some ways we can split that work, where before it was sort of, either all on me or all on Coach Placentia. And we didn't have a whole lot of combined work that we could split. So, there's more a little bit. There's certainly, more athletes coming through the office and more recruiting to be done, but it's nice to have two of us to split those jobs and be able to kind of go back and forth. And so one of us can be at practice, one of us can go out recruiting, which we could never do before, and things like that. So it's pretty exciting. And overall, again, it's changed a little bit. I think the biggest thing that changed is usually at a race, I can watch the women's 6K really like be invested, coaching, running all over the course. And then during the men's race, I kind of take a deep breath and just kind of leisurely wander around, give a couple of cheers. But now, like, I had to remind myself after the women's race was over this time, like, nope. Like, you got to like get a drink of water and get back to the start line, because you got to have another speech to give and you got to have another group to run around with. And for the men's 8K, there's a lot more running. So I got to get a little fitter to cover the course that many times with both genders. So I think that's the biggest difference, is just like kind of from a coaching standpoint at meets, just being on for both races and having both races in my brain of what the objectives are for both teams. And they're obviously different objectives. The teams are in a little bit different places. And so, just knowing that and being able to differentiate and individualize enough for both, but also keep them together enough.
You mentioned the women's team in particular right now in the top 10 in the country nationally. You're coming off of a really good year last year. You've got a lot of those runners back. What are the goals for this team this year for the women?
You know, it, I think the sky's the limit. Really, it's hard to sometimes vocalize some of those goals because they sound a little crazy still, even in our heads. But being fifth last year and returning everyone this year, and knock on wood, a pretty healthy group. Podium is the big goal. That's top four. So that would obviously be a little improvement on what we did last year. And last year was just such a strange year. So we were fifth and that was amazing. But knowing that everyone was doing weird things, we were running cross country in March and that was just an odd thing. So, you know, it's hard to know exactly how this year is going to be a little different than that. But I think in everybody's mind, like, you know, I think we have the bodies in place and I think we have the talent and we have the kind of mature personalities to be able to go for a national title. And I don't think that's completely out of the question. It wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be the, you know, the miracle on ice if it happened. And so I think it's crazy to say it, but you know, that is certainly, we talk about kind of ocean floor goals and sea level goals and mountaintop goals. And I think that sea level goal is being a podium team of top four, but then that mountaintop goal that we don't want to not put out in the universe is to try to win.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. And as the season progresses, certainly, as you mentioned, health will play a part in how everything comes together. Well, you mentioned Roy Griak earlier in the discussion, of course, the legendary head coach who we all love so much. And, of course, his name is on one of the great meets in the entire country. And we're getting close to that time again. How excited are you to – and it's a Friday this year. How excited are you to have the Roy Griak ready to get going here?
Well, we've got a great field set up for both sides. On the men's side, we have BYU, who won the national title 2 years ago, who was a top 10 team last year. We have Iowa State, who's a top four team last year. We've just got a lot of depth on the men's side. And on the women's side, same thing. We've got, I think, six teams that were at the national championship last year with Georgia Tech and Liberty and ourselves and Iowa State and Michigan State. Michigan State was fourth in the nation last year. We were fifth. They won the Big Ten last year. We were second. So it'll be good to see how we stack up against Michigan State, both men and women. So yeah, it's going to be a great field. Friday is going to be different for us. We hope that maybe people might play hooky a little bit and come over to the meet on Friday morning. And, you know, most college meets now are going to Fridays. A lot of it is just avoiding football Saturdays. Obviously in the metro area, we don't have to worry about hotel rooms and things like that, but from an event staff perspective and just all the staff behind the scenes and in Gopherland, it's hard to do home football and a big event like the Griak on the same day. So, a little bit of that was kind of driven by the football schedule, but like I said, most big collegiate meets now are on Fridays. We go to Notre Dame, it's on a Friday. We go to Medicoman, Wisconsin, it's on a Friday. We were just at Penn State on a Friday. So the Big Ten meets on a Friday. So it's kind of, it's becoming the trend nationally. So we're kind of lining up with that. And we're just super excited to have the meet again after not being able to have it last year. And to kind of have it hopefully relatively normal, being an outdoor event and all that kind of stuff. It's nice to know that we can do things relatively normally and hopefully another layer that makes it feel more like a normal season for us and less like a kind of weirdly truncated COVID season. So
I ask you this every year. It's at, of course, Les Ballstead, a golf course on campus. If fans want to come, what's some advice to give them on how to watch and where are some good viewing points?
Yeah. I mean, cross country is awesome because it's a very fan, it's a very fan intensive sport. Like you don't just get to come and sit in the bleachers. So it's great for kids because you're not sitting. I know when I bring my kids to games, they love soccer and they love volleyball, but after about 10 minutes, they're running around and climbing over me and I'm trying to like play gymnastics with them and stuff. And so with cross country, they just let them loose, like let them run. As long as they don't run across the course, you're good. So it's a great family event. So parking's a little tricky over at Ballstead, but there are shuttles that run from Gortner Ramp on St. Paul campus. There'll be signage to where to park and then and jump on the shuttle to get over. Pre-sale tickets should be going live here this week. So you can buy your tickets in advance if you'd like, or you can buy them at the gate. With the course itself, there's kind of a centralized location. You see the start and you see the finish in the same area where the driving range typically is at Ballstead. And then just about 100 meters beyond that is a great spot where the course crosses about 3 or 4 times. So really, if you're kind of less of the wanting to sprint around the course and more of the wanting to find a spot, sit there and see the race, that's a good spot for it. But you'll just see, I mean, I just love watching cross country spectators because you'll see these hordes and like the runners go by and all of a sudden everyone takes off and tries to sprint 200 meters away to see another spot. And then those people all sprint to another spot. And it's pretty funny to watch. So like I said, put your running shoes on. It's not a lollygagging sport. You got to be a little bit fit to spectate cross country, which is what makes it fun. So, but college races are in the morning. So Division I races are the first thing. And then D2, D3 races follow that. So if you've got, you know, local colleges, all the D3 schools, all those guys will be here. And then we have a little bit of a break. And then the high school races start at 3:45. So we have 250 high school teams, and those are always crazy races. There's 550 kids in each race just herding off the line, and it's, you know, every runner for themselves out there. So it is a spectacle to watch, but we try to have a day where we make cross country feel really important and feel like football or like basketball, where there's a jumbotron and there's awards and there's music and there's DJs and there's lots going on. And it's just super kind of a fun day. It's supposed to, knock on wood again, it's supposed to be a beautiful day, at least in the 10-day forecast, which who knows how that'll play out. But yeah, we're just excited to host again. And like you mentioned, it's always fun to honor Roy, because Roy was obviously a legend and an icon and someone who mentored almost all of us here in this building and in lots of different ways, even other coaches and other sports. So it's great to be able to kind of keep his name recognizable by all the high school kids, even though at this point they just go, oh, the Griac, that's a meat, like, and a person. So we have to remind them of that a little bit. But yeah, come on out to Bullstead on Friday morning. Beautiful day. Great day to watch cross country. You get a little workout in before the football game Saturday, when you're going to go and sit and, you know, eat brats and drink beer. You can come to the cross country meet and make yourself feel a little better that you're actively spectating for at least one of those events.
Yeah, no doubt. Homecoming weekend it is. Gophersports.com for all the info. Coach, great to see you. Thanks, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Grim. Appreciate it.